People love him already.
He's got the Rhode Island twang.
The long pass to Moore and a pin block from Martin.
Tune in to Cam's Corner.
He's going to make it here.
Draws the foul for another Rhode Island and one.
Podcast. He's got his own podcast.
It's good off the backboard and in.
On a break.
And we're back, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Cam's Corner, Season 4, Episode 10, Episode 110, with NFL Films producer and production associate, co-host and producer of the Cole Swider Show and Syracuse alum, Adam Lewis. Adam, thanks so much for hopping on the show, man.
Appreciate you having me, Cam. I'm a big fan of the show, for sure.
Yeah, man, that means a lot. I know we connected a little bit before, in back in May, when we were both graduating. Our connection with Cole Swider, we'll get into, of course. And just to start things off, just tell the viewers where you're from and where your passion for sports sparked at a young age.
Sure. So I am from Vestal, New York. That's upstate New York, about an hour south of Syracuse. Cam, I don't even think you know this, but my dad is from South Kingstown, Rhode Island. So wow. I visit Rhode Island like 4 or 5 times a year. It's like my favorite place to go in the entire world. So as a son of a huge Boston sports fan growing up in 2001 through the 2010s and mid-teens, I had an unbelievable experience growing up watching Tom Brady, David Ortiz, Paul Pierce. Like, we didn't have a bad year. If the Red Sox had a down year, the Patriots were going to the Super Bowl, vice versa with the Celtics. The Bruins had a couple runs. And I just never had a year where I wasn't able to watch my team go far in the playoffs. So as a sports fan, that's unbelievable. People don't have that experience unless you were a Boston sports fan in the last couple decades, maybe a Chiefs fan in the last couple of years in the NFL. But being able to be a sports fan, to watch winning and my teams be so successful, that creates a lot of moments that you're like, I'm going to rewatch these 500 times. And when you rewatch those, you realize in the moment, you only have one chance to produce this, to make it a moment. And then for everyone to watch it for years and years afterwards, that's the gift that comes afterwards if you do a good job in the first place. So I think my passion for sports production comes from just being wanting to create a moment like that in the next 30 years that people will watch for the next 100.
Yeah, man, that's so cool. I know I told you I'm from Rhode Island, but I'm not in the slightest a Boston or New England sports fan. Now with Joe Mazzulla at the helm for the Celtics, I'm following him and rooting for him, but a huge New York fan, ironically. But so for yourself, like, how did you decide on Syracuse? I know you wanted to, at a young age, you already found out you wanted to make those moments happen. You wanted to be like the brains behind all that stuff, which is amazing. And Syracuse is the best school in the country, arguably, to do that. So I guess talk about like your senior year of high school. What that brought you and how you decided on Syracuse too.
Sure. So the story I always tell is that when I was a little kid, we would play like wiffle ball with like my grandparents or my dad or whoever. And I would be more interested in like the announcing and the production of the, of the game beforehand, before actually, you know, stepping up to home plate. So at that point, my family was like, you should go to Syracuse, because it was an hour north and because I was showing an interest in like announcing or being in front of the camera at that time. I was like 10 years old. Mm. I think every kid has a lot of energy that way, but they saw that in me. And so it was always an option to think about. Upstate New York has some good communication schools, Ithaca College, Syracuse, being the two that I really toured and looked at. And I decided Cuse was the spot because I had been a Syracuse sports fan and I wanted to do production. I wanted to do sports production. And while they're known for having lots of on-air talent, they also do a really good job, you know, getting you ready for the actual industry and like the business of it, which I felt like I had no idea about that. I think I could get some technical skills together and learn the most of it through my 4 years, but I didn't know anything about the business. So I applied to Syracuse early decision, which means you only get one shot. Like they either put you in or you get pushed back and you can't apply anywhere else. If you get accepted, you're going there. And it just, I think I visited twice and interviewed, in the admissions office. I think I had an okay, you know, admissions letter like everyone else, but I also was able to submit like a reel of stuff that I had produced, but not necessarily that I was like on camera for. Mm. And I don't think that a lot of people at that time did that. This was 2019. I don't think a lot of people were able to show something that they like put on versus, okay, here's me in front of the camera, you know, calling a game. So I got in December 17th, 2019. And I was able to know what I wanted to do for the rest of my life and where I was going to college with like 5 months left of school. So that was pretty sweet. And then the rest of senior year was just a lot of like getting ready for that, like putting on shows, and, you know, honing my craft, I guess you could say.
Did COVID play a factor in any of that stuff, or was it kind of easy for you?
So I'll tell a quick story if that's cool. I don't want to ramble too much about stuff that I'm not the greatest at the time, but I had spent 2 months being the head producer of our talent show. It's a big show in high school. It's called Talent Fest. And I had written a bunch of sketches for it. We created like a promo video to the tune of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, like crazy stuff. It's actually still on YouTube. People can find it. I'm not like, not my greatest work, but whatever. And then it was supposed to be on March 14th, Saturday night of 2020. And we had rehearsals up until that Wednesday. And then I think everyone remembers where they were that week when everything shut down. And
crazy.
So literally 2 months, probably 2 hours or 3 hours a day working on this show. And it's just all shut down. So I'm already committed to Syracuse. I'm wrapping up senior classes. The teachers aren't like pushing us too hard to be like, okay, you have to do a million assignments. I kind of have some time on my hands. So we edited this carpool karaoke video with teachers that we had filmed before, but we were going to like kind of add on to the week of. And it kind of went like, I call it Vestal viral, which is like where I'm from, Vestal, New York. And it got like a million views, not actually a million views, but for my area, it got a lot of views and like everyone saw it. People were texting me and emailing me. The principal was like, you know, and if you want to put anything else out, just go ahead. You don't need to approve it. And I was like, all right, we made it. Like this is the height of power. And so we put that video out. We ended up editing the talent show together in like an hour long YouTube video. And looking back, it might not be like the greatest work of all time that I'll ever do, but it's with my friends that I grew up with. And it was like basically 3 months practice and something to do during that COVID pandemic. Everyone else was kind of just sitting around and we really put this thing together. So like looking back, I'm very proud of the process, how we like pivoted in the moment. Like as a producer, you have to kind of like make changes live and make decisions to make something happen. If something goes wrong, something always goes wrong. It's not usually like the world shutting down, but pretty close. And we were able to do it pretty well. So that was super fun. But in terms of my decision to go to Syracuse, nothing changed there. I was ready to go.
Yeah. See, I love to hear that. Like for myself, I didn't really know exactly what it was that I wanted to get into with sports, getting out of high school. COVID kind of messed stuff up. I was like really considering playing at the Division III level back at home in Rhode Island. And then COVID hit and I'm like, you know what? I didn't have that great of a senior year. So I was like, I want to stay around the game of basketball because basketball is like my bread and butter. I love basketball. So that's kind of how I started. I started the podcast to like get it off the ground. And then like it opened all these doors for me as far as meeting people, networking, getting like reps just in front of the camera, getting used to stuff. And you had that at the high school level. You already had all this experience in high school. So that transition to Syracuse, I wanted to know how much it was kind of, I guess, similar to what you did in high school and how easy it was for you to adjust once you were in the systems and like you're kind of welcome to Syracuse moment as far as those production programs and all that stuff goes.
Yeah. Yeah. This won't be as exciting an answer. I had a rough start to college, I would say, in terms of like, you know, getting to do a lot of things in our field. When I first got to school, you were allowed to have 4 people in a dorm room total. And you couldn't go into other dorms and all of my classes were online. So looking back, I don't know how I made like 2 friends. Like it was crazy at the time. Everyone was doing it, but like, you know, I moved an hour away. It didn't seem like too far, but if you don't know anyone, it was still a lot. On top of all that, there wasn't much going on with sports. There's no fans. There's no one calling the games. We have some clubs at Syracuse that do a lot of the on-camera stuff, maybe some behind-the-scenes live production, but I was never really involved in that. So in terms of projects that I could produce over time and kind of a final product, there was really nothing for, like, I would say the first semester until the winter of my freshman year. I had trouble getting into things. On top of that all, you're taking, like, the gen ed classes, like, you know, intro math and I think I took a writing class that wasn't like, you know, screenwriter or anything. It was like, you know, English. So it was a lot of like fighting to like keep myself focused. Like you'll get there. Eventually you'll be able to do something and get going. But I do remember that first semester just being like, all right, take a pause. It's going to be a couple months until anything gets going. But I think we worked through that eventually, which I think we'll get into in a minute.
Yeah. So what was that first like real project you got to work on where you're like, okay, I'm in the right place. This is the right school that I'm supposed to be at. And like going off of that too, like from there.
Sure. Yeah. So I started this dorm room show podcast thing with my roommate, Jake, and a couple of our other friends in our big friend group. And we did like four or five or six episodes of that. And people started to like it a little bit. It wasn't crazy, not like much traction behind it, but it was like a stupid like Syracuse show. Like, here's where you can get the best food at 2 a.m. Here's the latest in, you know, the Syracuse Sweet 16 run in basketball, just screwing around in our dorm room. And it ended up doing pretty well, just in terms of our friends. Like, people were talking about it and they said, all right, can you do a season two? And we all got together and we're like, we're not going to sit in a dorm room. This was sophomore year by now and just talk about stuff. We're going to go actually do it. So we got a high level basketball player at the time, Benny Williams. We got the Syracuse quarterback at the time, Garrett Schrader. And we got some other players lined up through like just me cold emailing the athletic department and getting stuff lined up. And we would go to the stadium to shoot this stuff like on the field. And it took a million emails and figuring out resources. But every time I would send an email like this, the answer was yes. It was always, sure, come on in. It's going to have to be 8 a.m. to come to the Carrier Dome and stand on the turf and film stuff. But you can absolutely come do it. We'd love to have you. So to have that access, just because I asked in a nice way, in a professional way, in an email, is something that I don't think many schools would do. I think Syracuse is open to that because they shoot out so many successful creatives. And so the encouragement from that was just like, I could do anything here. Like, if I ask any question, when is the answer going to be no? And it never came. So Syracuse saying yes to stuff was just immediately, I knew I made the right decision at that point.
Yeah, that's incredible to hear, because usually like the stereotypical rumor that would go around is like, oh, that's a big powerhouse school, you're not going to get a lot of opportunities. But firsthand for yourself, it's just sending a cold email. It might take a few days, but they get back to you, and you might have to, you know, wake up when you're not really wanting to wake up early in the morning. Yeah. But you get those opportunities that way, which is, I think, is awesome. I didn't have the opportunity to go out of state, but URI was similar to that. If I asked the SIDs, like, hey, I want to do this interview in the locker room, or this is what I'm thinking, they're just like, yep, go and do it. Like, just make sure it's cool to player. And that's the best programs you can get involved in. And you said you would cold email them about players, and like they would get the players on track and stuff like that. Being from Rhode Island, I want to know where that connection with Cole Swider came in. He came in your junior year. So you said all the way up to your sophomore year, you started doing all these things. When did you first meet Cole? What was your first interaction with Cole? We'll start off with that, and then we'll get into the podcast questions.
This is a perfect segue. So one of the cold emails was to the athletic department about getting this kid named Patty Casey on. He was a walk-on on the Syracuse basketball team, originally from Scranton, which is where my roommate Jake is from, and I actually have some family from there as well. And we wanted him to be one of our like five episodes of that season. And obviously the answer was yes, because they were great about everything. And we shot that episode with him. It's also still on YouTube. It's called Call Him Otto, if you want to look it up. Not my greatest work of all time, but I will never delete something off the internet. It's part of the journey.
For sure.
So Patty comes on and does I think it ended up like being a pretty good episode. Like, he was really funny, like charming kid. And we became like good friends over that summer, just like texting a little bit. Every once in a while, nothing crazy. I think it was still Instagram DMs by this time. Like, it wasn't anything nuts, but he had been really close friends with Cole Swider at Syracuse. They had played together on the team that year. The 1 year they were both there was when they were together. And so Cole, I think he told this story. I know he told this story on your show.
Yeah.
Was really bored in LA getting ready for his first season as a Laker. So he said, I want to start a podcast. And Patty was the one that he wanted to do it with. He was like the funniest kid that Cole knew. So he wants to get together and do a show. So the two of them being athletes and funny guys, they need a producer. And who does Patty reach out to? The person that, you know, invited him for what used to be a dorm room show in a COVID four person, like little closet sized dorm. And it turned into this show that we would then you know, develop a little bit and then release as Cole was going to start training camp on the Los Angeles Lakers. And this all happened over like 2 months. Like Patty said, do you want to produce this? I said, of course. And then we all got on like a call, designed the name of the show and, you know, lined up some guests and stuff like that. But that's how kind of how the genesis of the show, like it came from Patty originally, who I had on that stupid dorm room show that kind of like led to everything. In terms of my first interaction with Swider, he sends a text in the group chat and it's a 401 area code. And like I said, my dad's from Rhode Island. So I knew that area code, just from like having visited there and stuff like that. My grandparents' cell phones used to have that number, whatever. And so he goes, guys, it's Cole Swider, obviously. And if anyone knows Cole, he says the word obviously a lot, which is just fun. It's a funny thing that he says a lot. And we were like, yeah, it's obvious because of the 401 area code. And then we immediately connected on the Rhode Island thing. And from there, it was just like trying to put on the best show possible, along with him like going through all the things like, I got to go work out today, like four times or for 4 hours or something like that. Or I got to go text LeBron in the group chat really quick. You know, Austin Reeves is popping off. Here's some inside information about that. So we just got to be like good friends in the group chat kind of. And then I didn't really meet him until he came to visit Syracuse in like, I think it was February of my junior year for the Duke game he visited. And that was just amazing. He introduced me to his whole family, his little brother, who's now, you know, doing really good things in Rhode Island, getting recruited, going to be in a great spot in a year. His parents are unbelievable. And then, yeah, so that was kind of the first getting to meet him over those 6 months. We kind of developed the show slowly. At the same time, we sold it to Blue Wire, sold the ad reads to Blue Wire. So they put ads on our video. We get a revenue split. And that was a cool process, too, because then you go through his agent and everything. So I got to meet all his agents and, you know, people from WME and stuff like that. It was pretty sick. But, yeah, it all started from the podcast group chat all the way through.
Yeah, I see the jersey in the back. That's I know you've been following him as far as like some workouts go. I've seen you on the court with him and stuff like that. What is that like? How did that come about? And how does he does he reach out to you and say, I need a guy to feed me in this workout, like come out to Miami? And then that's how it goes. Like,
that will always be the coolest part. Is just first of all, the jersey he sent to me when I was in LA, which is pretty sick, which was last fall. He just sent it and I got it framed for Christmas and stuff. So I think I have to get a Pacers one now. We're going to wait for training camp to make sure he gets the nice yellow 21 jersey first. And then I'm going to go ahead and get that. The workouts are nuts. There's nothing like it. So I was down in Florida in March visiting my grandparents just on my college spring break. And I was like, I need a break. So I'm getting out of Syracuse. I go down to Orlando to see my grandparents. And I ask Cole, okay, can I drop over to Miami for a couple of days? And he's like, yeah, definitely. Like, I don't have much going on. I think we play the Nuggets Wednesday night. So I was like, yeah, I'll come over for the game, but I'll come a day before. I'll come Tuesday. And so I take like a Greyhound, like $33 bus from Orlando to Miami. And you start seeing the skyline in the distance. And I'm like, oh my God, after this 3 hour ride on the hardest seat you could possibly sit on, I'm going to get to, you know, visit him and see what it's like there. And so we walk over to the arena because his hotel was like a block away. So we walk in through the arena, we walk into the locker room, and not 10 seconds later, Caleb Martin comes over and daps me up and says, what's going on? And I was like, what is going on? Like, am I like hallucinating? And what I realized is the way I think NBA players work, from my experience and maybe all athletes, if you're in with one of them, the rest of them think that you are an acceptable person to be around. So if Cole is trusting enough to bring me into that situation and help him out and check things out, I think, you know, Caleb and Duncan and Orlando Robinson are all going to be pretty chill with me being in the room. So we're literally in the Heat locker room, walk right in to the practice facility, which is a gym that's kind of like up behind and above the arena, but still in the Kaseya Center in Miami. And they say, oh, no, there's a camp going on. You have to go to the actual arena to shoot around. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, now I'm going to get to walk into this empty NBA arena. And I mean empty. Like, there was no one in there. You know, the red seats, and it's insane. So we walk down through the tunnel onto the court. I'm putting up shots on the floor while he gets stretched out. And, like, I can't believe this. And then Yeah, we just do a workout. So Cole, as everyone knows, is a shooter, and he puts up a lot of shots in a workout. But it's also a lot of like fast twitch dribbling drills and, you know, defensive slides, some cone drills. He's got some trainers there. So for me, it's just a lot of, geez, I better make the right chest pass here and get it right to where he needs it to put up shots. My athletic gene is gone. I think when I was 15, I was at my max. And from now, I'm just trying to get it back. So the workouts are insane. I try not to cash that card too much. I was able to be back in Miami for work in June. I guess we'll talk about that when we get to film stuff. But I was able to drop in and see him again, which was pretty cool. And hopefully I'll get over to Indiana this winter. We'll have to see what happens. But in terms of just like days on earth experiences, those days are up there with the very best that I've gotten to do and just the coolest experiences.
Oh, 100%. I mean, Cole was like the nicest dude too, like you said. And when he was able to do my podcast and then introduce me to Eric Reed, who's the voice of the Miami Heat. I mean, stuff like that, like, doesn't go unnoticed, like, to open doors for people and to, I mean, for him to even be in that position is so cool. Like, I remember at URI, it was my first year there. I tell the story a lot. PC, Providence College, you know, Providence College, were playing URI at the Ryan Center in Kingston. And so Anthony Carter was an assistant for the Miami Heat at the time, who's the father of Devin Carter. He just got drafted to the Kings. He played at PC. Yep. And so Anthony is an assistant for the Heat, and it's rumored that the Heat were in town to play the Celtics, and it was rumored that Jimmy and Kyle Lowry were going to be there. So we're like, it's a rumor. Like, they're not going to be there. There's no way. So I wasn't on the call for this game, but I was like doing like newscast stuff similar to what I do now with the news down in Missouri. I was filming all the highlights for the games, and then I would put together like a 2-minute package after that, like a stand up type of thing, like highlights from the game. And I was sitting on like the baseline behind the hoop that where all like the players come in before they came in, like 30 minutes before, 40 minutes before the game. And I get a nudge on like my back. I'm like, oh, excuse me, man. Sorry. It's like, oh, it's all good. I turn around and it's Kyle Lowry. And like his rose gold Rolex just like kind of like, oh, sorry, man. That's the first thing I saw on his wrist. And then I sat down next to him and we had like a 2-3 minute conversation. Nicest dude ever. And I told Cole that too. And I asked him like his moments where he met these guys and obviously, of course, meeting LeBron. So, that must've been like, you're like, okay, this can be like a real thing for myself if I get into like a full-time position. So this was your junior year, right? When you went to Miami?
Or was it was literally just this March, which is crazy because I had seen him. I visited some games, some in New York, some in, like MSG, Brooklyn, whatever. And I go to the games and visit, but like never had I been to see the actual facility. I worked out with him in Syracuse once too, but like never an arena. That was ridiculous. That was just this past year, which is crazy.
For sure. So you have the experience with producing shows for Cole, obviously Duncan Robinson, probably one of the biggest guests to come on there. What's his name? It was in a Scottie Pippen Jr. You guys had that big, big studio in LA.
We've had him twice. That was Summer League in Vegas.
Yeah.
And he came to it's at the Wynn Las Vegas, the big hotel on the strip. And we did a show there without him. And then he came in and we did a show with him, which was pretty sick. And then I think I flew out like 2 minutes later. Like it was a crazy day, but yeah, Scottie's the man. And Duncan, I'm proud to say he remembers who I am every time I see him. So that's pretty cool. There's nothing like that.
That's super cool, man. That's so awesome. Was that one of like the biggest like studios outside of Syracuse that you were in for the first time that went to Vegas?
So they have it's our network. Blue Wire has a studio there top notch. It's unbelievable. It's like kind of like a hole in the wall, but it's a glass wall and people can like look in and it's pretty professional. And a pretty sick setup. Yeah. And I didn't have to do anything like tech wise either. I could focus on like, you know, managing Scotty and making sure the show was set up pretty well. But that was nicer than most things I've seen, except maybe here at NFL Films. That was pretty sick.
Yeah, and of course, a plethora amount of internships. I saw you worked at Barstool with Barstool Cuse, like doing stuff for them. And I had an internship with Barstool Roadie, so I'm sure it's similar to that, like making content, you know, getting those numbers up, getting that experience. And like I said, you had a bunch of them at Syracuse. What do you feel like separated you from people that were doing what you were doing and really making a name for yourself as far as applying for jobs once graduation was over? What do you feel like got you over that hump?
I think the Swider show was big because that's a very public thing. Like I can throw once a week I can put myself with an athlete on like social media, which is crazy. This past spring, I worked with a company called No Destination. It's actually a startup in Syracuse. My friend Sam Holland runs it. Shout out. And we were kind of building towards this social media marketing company back in February. And it didn't really, you know, I wasn't super excited about it. I wasn't like stoked to help.
I think
work
you showed
this,
me what the studio was like. Yeah.
Yeah. So we kind of pivoted towards running a studio for athletes, like giving them a space, especially at Syracuse. It's right on campus. But Sam gave me a budget and we built a studio into this former Boba Tea shop on Marshall Street, which is like the most popular street in Syracuse, like a bar town kind of setup. And that took me like a month. And then I think 3 days after we got it all set up, we got Kyle McCord in the studio, who's the new Syracuse quarterback. He was with Ohio State last year. And just from that experience, I'm able to put on, you know, a lot of business stuff, budget management, you know, working with clients, you know, working through all the creative, the look behind it, working through with cinematographers on lighting, on microphones and crazy stuff that I had never had to do before. So while that was a challenge, like I wouldn't want to spend my like last semester doing anything else. We were working long hours. We were there late at night, early in the morning, a couple of days of spring break, but boy, was it worth it. Because when I got the job interview, I could just talk about it for 5 minutes, like I just did there. And I think it's very different from, you know, running a social media. It's like boots on the ground type stuff that was, I had never done before.
Yeah. So talk a little bit more about graduation. Coming up as a senior, again, we're same age, so like it was the same situation for us back in May. I forget when you announced it, but remind me of when you got the job with NFL Films, how that came about, and what other jobs were you looking at that time too?
Yeah, so same Florida trip. At spring break, I was applying to a bunch of jobs, which is very discouraging. Even if you're getting stuff back, it's discouraging. Because it's just one, half the time it's one LinkedIn click or entering the same resume for the 48th time.
Oh my God.
So I would say I probably applied to 30 jobs.
Yep.
I had had an interview for the Olympics this summer back in December and hadn't heard anything. And I applied for a seasonal producer position, which actually was then called production associate. But since then it's now a seasonal producer at NFL Films. And I applied for it, didn't think maybe I'd get an interview, but whatever. And I drive back up from Easter weekend and from home up to Syracuse. And I put out my lawn chair for the solar eclipse, which in Syracuse, it was 99%. And they gave me a call during the solar eclipse to tell me I got the job. And I was like, that is amazing. Wow. I'm going to call you back. So then I sat down and watched the eclipse for like 20 minutes. And then I called back and they gave me all the information. I think I took like 2 or 3 days, talked to a couple professors, and then decided like, yeah, I have to do this. Which was, you know, I have no complaints about the information they gave me. I just wanted to make sure it was okay with like my whole family to move to New Jersey and stuff like that. So I went through that whole thing. I think I had to wait a couple weeks to like sign the contract and before announcing anything, but it ended up being, you know, a week or two before graduation that it was like out there. I'm moving down to Jersey. So then they send me my start date and it's Monday morning at 9 a.m. when I'm graduating Sunday at noon. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm not going home after school. I'm going right back down there. So I walked for my communication school on Saturday afternoon, drove home, hung out with family, skipped the commencement on Sunday because it's just a bunch of speeches, in my opinion. I'm sure it's a good memory for a lot of people, but I had 24 hours left. So I hung out with my family, drove down to, it's South Jersey, right near Philly down here, and kind of moved in that night and went to work at Films Monday morning at 9 a.m., which was pretty crazy. A lot of people say it's like they don't know if they would have done that, but I have no regrets looking back. It was a crazy whirlwind thing that I don't regret at all.
100%. I would have been the same exact way. And like for me, my ceiling is the NBA. Like I really, really like want to be in the NBA more than anything in the world. If it's play by play, if it's like a studio job, if it's a sideline job, whatever it is, I want to be on camera doing something in the NBA. And I know that will come in time. And before we cap things off, I want to ask you about your ceiling as well and what you see yourself doing. But piggybacking off of this quick turnaround after graduation, talk about, again, I love asking like people like they're welcome to whatever it is moment. So we talked about like Syracuse, getting into Syracuse. Your first job at NFL Films is a day after you graduate. So what was like one of the first things they had you doing, and like how quickly were you able to pick up things and kind of relate it back to the steps and rhythms that you got in with Syracuse?
Sure. It was very HR, you know, go through the, all the trainings and stuff that first week.
Yeah.
Second week was very technical training. Like, okay, you're going to be editing on Avid, which I had never done before. I use Premiere. Or you're going to be directing voiceover this way, which I had never done before, period. And third week was flying down to Miami to shoot with Tyreek Hill and Raheem Mostert and Bradley Chubb. So I knew about that like a week before, flew down and shot what's called Top 100 is the show for films. And that's on NFL Plus. If anyone wants to watch, it ranks all the players 1 through 100 based off of votes for the players themselves. The players all vote for each other. And then whoever wins, right? Whoever won this year happened to be Tyreek Hill. So our job was to go down there and give him the trophy and film it happening. And
he didn't know, right?
He didn't know it was going to happen. It's like very confidential. There's like 8 of us on planet Earth that know the list before, which is pretty cool. And if you haven't seen this video, you have to go look it up. I'm not just plugging my work. Like,
I did see it. I remember seeing that.
Oh my God. Viral video. Tyreek goes nuts.
Flipped out, yeah.
Like starts running around the room, picks up Mostert and like throws him over his shoulder, he knocks our backdrop over that took us 45 minutes to set up.
Yeah.
And there's like 4 of us in the room. Like I'm one of 4 people on earth that get to experience that in person. Tyreek introduced himself, was super nice, was talking to me before we started shooting, like whatever. And at that moment, I was like, fine. Like I was focused, like doing my job. And then I walk out of the facility. I'm like, wait, that just happened. And I kind of like reflected it on the whole flight home. I was like, oh my God, that is unbelievable. And this, I get paid to do this every day. That's crazy. You know? So that was my like big moment of being comfortable in what I was doing. And also realizing it's always going to be surprising what happened. I will tell you one quick thing about when I was not prepared, which was 2 weeks ago, at lunch, and Bill Belichick walks into our cafeteria. For those that don't know, he's shooting Inside the NFL. He's shooting his podcast. He's shooting another show, which I can't talk about yet. That's coming up. And it's all happening 2 or 3 days a week in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Bill Belichick comes into the studio and he walks in and stands next to me at the salad bar. And I was like shaking. I was a lifelong Patriots fan, like visibly, like a little bit nervous. And so my friend Seth, who is also a seasonal at Films, goes, pretty sweet salad bar. And Bill goes, I'll say. And I'm like, Seth, what are you doing? Like, you can't talk to him. And then I realized, of course you can. We're coworkers now. Yeah. So that is like, to be coworkers with Bill Belichick, we have 138 Emmys in the last 40 years. Like, I just hope to be able to like live up to that. So every day when I walk in that building, someone could be there. Like Matt Patricia was here, Jason Kelsey. It's nuts. Roger Goodell, I got to say hi to. Like, just ridiculous. And all that leads back to the fact that like every day is a surprise. So that was every day is a I can't believe this is happening moment for me. Some days a little slower than others, but you know, when the big things happen, you remember why you're planning for 2 weeks to make something happen.
Yeah, when I worked for Channel 12 back in Rhode Island, internship I had before graduating, junior summer into senior year, I worked with the news, and like a lot of the things they did in the summer was go to Pat's camp, training camp, mini camps, all this stuff. And my boy Ed Lee, that went to URI, he had a mini camp deal with the Patriots. So he was with the Patriots the same time I was covering the Patriots. So he would come in, and I would always talk to him. And we actually filmed a podcast about it. I wasn't able to put it out because then, unfortunately, he ended up getting cut like that summer. But that the first few weeks that he was there and we were doing stuff, he waved over. So he would always go in the corner with Mac Jones in practice at the end of practice, just like throw the ball back and forth. He waved me over, like not too far, but he introduced me to Mac Jones, and like Belichick was walking by, like Ramondre Stevenson was like signing some lady's arm for like a tattoo. So like those moments where you're in the locker rooms and you're in those like on-field environments, like you have like that extra access pass, like that is like the coolest thing. And I'm sure you get that firsthand too with like the films. Like that Tyreek story is amazing. And then now, most recently, you guys just wrapped up Hard Knocks with the Chicago Bears. So, dig deep into that and talk about that. And is this your first Hard Knocks project you've worked on?
Yeah. So the way Hard Knocks works these days, like as of right this moment, we've got the preseason, which is the one everyone kind of knows, like training camp, which this year was the Bears. We're doing in season in about 2 months here. I think we start work, and it's the whole AFC North division. And then this past spring, we did the Giants off season, they called it, which is basically like, okay, put the team together, free agent deals, go do draft day, stuff like that, which was sick. I just didn't get in time to really work on that. Mm. So yes, this was my first show working on the Bears. I actually have a t-shirt right there. It says Crew.
Yeah,
which I love.
I saw that.
And I will kind of dispel the magic a little bit. I'm what's called an associate producer credit on that show. And what that means is we get all the footage into here in New Jersey and what's called logging. We take every single clip and kind of like sort through it and say, okay, this needs to be in the show. This definitely doesn't need to be in the show. This is a viral moment for social media. This is, you know, Caleb Williams finally mic'd up, stuff like that. I go through it every day for 2 months, basically. And the hours are a little bit weird too. We come in at 3 o'clock to work on the stuff that was shot that morning in training camp, or what we call robos, which are the meetings, like robotic cameras in the meeting rooms. Mm. So we would edit what is happening that same day. And we worked into the wee hours. Like I was there at 1 a.m. a couple times, usually about 11 p.m. Putting that show together for a month, we would literally just categorize all the footage. And then kind of, we would shoot an email to producers being like, you should put this in, or the showrunners, I should say, you should put this in. I really want this put in. This piece of music could be good, whatever. So my job specifically on that show is a lot of just staring at a screen and typing and looking through the footage. But I think it's super important because if we screw something up, if we don't see something in the footage, it will never be seen, not only on Hard Knocks, but we can't use it in future projects. It kind of disappears. So that was my job on Hard Knocks, and it is a grind. It is 5 episodes, 5 weeks, but it was worth it. Every minute was worth it. Seeing my name at the end of it is pretty cool. And getting to know everyone that works on that show, from our execs and showrunners all the way down to like the assistants and stuff like that. It's unbelievable. And if you haven't seen it yet, I'm going to actually plug this one. Please watch Hard Knocks Bears. It was really fun and turned out really good. And they have a filthy offense this year. They're going to be better than anyone thinks, in my opinion. I'm calling it right now, 11 wins.
I got one of their stacks in one of my family leagues, one of my fantasy leagues. I got Caleb, Keenan, and DJ Moore. So I watched the first episode of Hard Knocks. I watched the second one. And then I'm thinking to myself, you know what, Adam, I know Adam said he got a job with NFL Films. And then I'm not even kidding, dude. That day you posted like the picture of your name in the credits. And I'm like, holy shit. Like he's doing like the Hard Knocks. He's doing, I remember the Tyreek thing that blew up. So like, I was like, I got to get you on. I got to talk to you about all these amazing, like, I know, I'm sure your family's super proud, but like, I know your dad, I'm sure you have a different connection with your dad being a sports fan. And for me, like obviously living away, you're living away from home. And they see this stuff from afar. Just talk about, like, before we wrapping things up, like the feedback you get from your friends, your family, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know people worry about, especially in our industry, spamming their social media feeds with everything. Mm. Like, oh, I worked on this, I worked on that, I got to do this cool thing. And they might see it as some form of bragging. I have personally and egotistically decided that anything that I do that is super sick is from a bunch of people back home believing in it and helping me through it for my entire life. And it is because of them that I can show it off and say, okay, this is what I get to do every day because sure. of this hard work. And not just because of me, because of everyone back home that like pushed me to this point. So when I share stuff on social and people a lot of times think it's pretty cool, which is, you know, again, egotistically and selfishly, it's pretty cool to have people saying your job is sick. How do you get to do that every day? But it also reminds me that like so many people made this happen, especially my parents. You know, they everything that they do is for me in life. Everything, every decision they've made, my grandparents, the last 70 years has gotten me the ability to do this for a living and spend so much money to go to Syracuse and travel all over the place, not getting paid to start, to get you to this point, like, you can't beat it. And you have to remember that that is the whole, that's where you come from in the first place. So when I put stuff on social, I say, yep, this is sick. I was with, you know, Jason Kelce today. But they say, Adam, that's so cool. Like, you know, keep doing it, keep working hard. And then I come home, like I went home last weekend for the first time in like 2 months. And I told my parents, I was like, thank you. This is unreal. Like you, everything you've done is a sacrifice to get me into this spot. And it's because of you that we're able to do this. So the way I see it, being able to get, you know, cool notes from people back home, my friends, maybe some younger people, that's always nice. But, you know, family is the reason I'm able to do it. And that's why I'll keep sending back what I'm doing, because we're doing it. We're going to keep working hard and keep pushing.
For sure, man. I have the same exact philosophy. I mean, I wouldn't be in this chair right now talking to you and in Joplin, Missouri, if it wasn't for the people back home and it wasn't for the support staff that I have. So that's amazing. And I appreciate you so much, Adam, for hopping on the show. I do want to close off, like I mentioned before, talking about my ceiling and how it's the NBA, and I really want to work in the NBA, and I see myself doing that down the road. For yourself, in 5 years, say, or even like the goal at the end of the day, I know you're starting off like at an awesome spot. You've worked really hard to get to that point at such a young age, but what's your ceiling? Where do you see yourself in your career? What do you want to accomplish once everything's said and done?
Yeah, I fully missed that question 15 minutes ago, so that's my fault. I didn't.
No. I wanted to close off on it for sure.
Yeah. My fault. So, where I'm at right now is pretty sweet. But personally, I want to get to a big city and do it there first of all. That's kind of like in my mind, like 1 or 2 years step process. Get to New York or LA, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. That's just a personal thing. I want lots to do, see some people, and you know, live somewhere. I like New Jersey, but it's not really a huge city, you know? Mm. So that's the personal answer to that question. The creative answer to that question, eventually I kind of want to move into an executive side of this business, which for those that don't know is instead of working on 1 or 2 projects at a time, you're kind of overseeing 20, 25, depending on the size of the production company. And I think a little bit of input and final say over 20 projects that are going to air somewhere is a lot cooler than working really hard on one project at a time. That's just my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. At Films, we just had a meeting today. We have like 75 projects on the slate, and there are 3 or 4 executives in the building that get to oversee all of them and get credited on all that for putting in their time to make sure they leave the building the way they want to. That's where I want to get, whether that's at NFL, a production company in Hollywood, New York City, sports, or, you know, film. Like, who knows if it ends up being like a movie company or like a, you know, TV show, who knows? But I would say eventually overseeing stuff, making some big decisions towards the end of the process to get things out versus narrative decisions now, I see myself doing that in 5 years. That would be pretty sweet. And being able to give back is a big thing for me. Like I said, my family was very influential. I also think that both my high school and college were very influential in getting me to where I need to be, and very encouraging. I still talk to so many people from both places, mm-hmm. and I would love to be able to give back there eventually, make students there be able to do what I did even easier than it was for me to do it. You know, if that means money, donations, or some kind of mentoring or teaching, or experiences, like, we'll figure it out. That's kind of on the list as well, things I want to do. But Cam, I really appreciate you having me. I will say this is my first like real media appearance other than my own podcast with Swider.
Let's
go. So I had the jitters about 10 minutes before this, and then I realized it's you doing it. So I'm not worried at all. It's a great show.
What'd you think? Yeah, you liked it?
Oh my God. I listened to the episode with Drew last night because I didn't know you had done it, but Drew's a mutual friend of ours. He went to Syracuse, yeah. And he's the man. I listened to the one with Swider, and then I literally made a list in my notes app of all the ones I'm going to listen to now of yours, because there's a bunch of Rhode Island guys and people that I had heard of that I want to know more about. So any niche that we can make in this industry, which yours is a great lineup of guests, I'm going to be listening. And this was a great experience for me too. And one of us will be famous in 10 years. Hopefully both of us, we can look back on this moment and decide, yep, this is a crazy start, but here we are now.
You never know. We might be working together on something one day. We might be at the top. We could look back and say, this was your first on camera, official first on camera time as a guest. Because I know you co-host with Cole, but that's the whole part of the sports industry is making connections. And then now having that connection and being so close with you, I can proudly say that I'm rooting for you. And I'm super blessed to be able to know you and just like support everything that you got going on. Cause it's the coolest thing in the world to see people just like excelling at like what they truly, truly are passionate about. So everybody go to tune into Adam. I'll have all his socials in the description. Cam's One Corner on all social media platforms. You guys already know Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, anywhere you guys find your podcast. Adam, thanks so much again for hopping on, and we'll see you guys in the next episode of Cam's Corner.